All right, well, welcome to the North Peace MB Church podcast. This is episode 2. My name is Andrew. I'm the lead pastor here, and with me, as always, is Don, our associate pastor. It is a beautiful sunny day, and we are in my office, and I have coffee and notes and our Bibles, and we're ready to dive in. So, Don, would you want to pray, and then we'll kind of explain what we're going to do this week?
Yeah, dear God, just thank you for another chance just to talk about how we can do Christian life on a daily basis. Thank you that you've given us your word to show us the way. So just guide and lead us as we do session 2. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we'll explain a little bit about what we want to do in the next 10, 12 weeks or so. Kind of as a backing up a little bit, in the fall, we were trying to talk about how to disciple people, and so we started these Saturday night classes, and just for whatever reason, wasn't well attended. People are busy, and the plan had been in January to start a intro to theology class, so covering a lot of kind of basics of Christian doctrine, and so we've decided on the podcast to spend the next 10, 12 weeks to talk about theology. And so basically to go through, here are the basic beliefs of Christianity, you know, talking about the Bible, God as Trinity, his eternality, miracles, angels, Satan, demons, mankind, Jesus, the church, final judgment, new heaven. So we're going to be here forever. This is going to be like a 10-year podcast. But we want to do that and just unpack theology for you. So I don't know, Don, why don't you give us, you know, if someone asked you, what is theology, what would you say to them?
Yeah, it's always interesting when you ask people theology, it immediately brings up a lot of, weird looks because most people, I'm not into that. I don't want to get that deep into it. But theology is really quite simply just getting to know God.
Yeah.
And so it kind of takes the scariness out of it when you put it that way. And it's so awesome that God has revealed himself in the Bible. And so theology is just basically getting to know God as he revealed himself in his word. And it's it can be in a very exciting journey. It's not this thing that only a few higher ups can do. It's basically a call for every believer to do theology, which is to get to know God. So
yeah, no, and even the word theology. I looked this up. I mean, it's two Greek words put together: theos, which is God, and logia, which is basically the study of. So it's exactly what Don just said. But that sounds even more academic than it actually, like the study of God. But you think of, you know, psychology. So psyche is, you know, the human psyche, the human brain, and ology is the study of it. And so really, I like how Don, you said it, it's just getting to know God, and that kind of takes away some of the sting or the skin. Like, you know, I'm not an academic. I don't like to read. I don't like, right? And we'll talk in a little bit about some of the objections to people or that people have about theology. But really, I love that. It's this relationship. It's getting to know God better through his word. So that's what we want to do. My first intro to theology, I mean, I think last week I talked about, I grew up a pastor's kid, knew lots of Bible stories, but I think there were almost kind of these non-connected Bible stories about Bible heroes. And even in high school, if you asked me, you know, do you study theology? I would have been like, no, because again, it's that stigma around it. But I remember my first year at Trinity Western, I took an intro to theology course. I think it was like Theology 101 with this young professor, and it was awesome. And it really just showed me that, yeah, as you study the word, I mean, That is theology. As you study about Jesus and get to know about who he is, what his attributes are, his power, how he has worked throughout history, you're just broadening your understanding of God, and that's what theology is. And so I remember that class was hugely impactful on me. And then as I went to seminary, I took other theology courses, but that was kind of me getting my feet wet. And we were talking before, it sounded like we were talking about drugs. When did you first try? When did you first try theology? It's not that. It's just, when was your first experience? So yeah, for you, Don, I know that you went to Bible college, but when was your first kind of getting your feet wet, or that you kind of, yeah, understood theology or started to get into that, like a deep study of God, I guess?
Yeah, it would have been in grade 12 where I had an encounter just to really commit my life to Jesus, to walking with him in a more serious relationship. And I found that I really didn't know very much about salvation, about how to live for Christ. I had this idea that you just had to really work hard to try to please him and try to overcome sin.
Yeah.
And I realized that I needed to study God's word and find out what the truth was, because there are a lot of voices that tell you a lot of things, and often it gets confusing. And praise God that we have a guidebook. And so I began studying in grade 12, and through just an invitation from friends to consider Bible college. So I decided to go there and took a theology, kind of a beginner theology class, and found out there that theology was exactly what we were talking about, just to get to know God personally, and just to see from his word what the truth about some of these questions I had. And so for me, it was just in my early 20s to begin studying God's word, and coming more and more to realize that it is a serious book. God has a plan, but it's also his love letter to us. He didn't intend for us to go on our own without any instructions. So that was kind of where I started my journey, and it's been going on ever since.
Yeah, no, and I think too, as you study it, as you study God's word, and we were talking about this before, it's like any other relationship, really. So if you take, you know, me and my wife, sure, I could keep it at a very shallow, you know, I don't want to complicate things. I don't want to know about your past. I don't want to dive into who you are. And that would just be an awful relationship. Sure, you could have some substance to it, but the amazing thing about marriage, and Don, you've been married a lot longer than I have, but the amazing thing is, as years go by and as you get to know the person, your love of them grows deeper as you get to know them better. And so you go, well, why wouldn't you put that kind of effort into the most important relationship you'll ever have with Jesus? And so we can often say, well, you know, I want to keep things simple. I like my faith simple. I don't want to complicate things. So I'll just keep that relationship with Jesus kind of at the basics. And you go, man, are you missing out? It would be the same, like, if I said to my wife, I don't really want to get to know your family. You know, let's just kind of keep things at a simple level. Man, well, first of all, that's terrible. But then you're married, like, there's no depth to that. There's no continual falling in love over and over as you get to know this person. And so I just go, man, I think people are missing out when they treat the most important relationship with Jesus like that. So it's not this scary thing. We want to take away that stigma of, you know, I'm sitting in a library and I'm surrounded by books and I'm this studious person. Yeah, I mean, you have to put some work into it, but we want to take away that stigma of that it's for an elite class of Christian, or, you know, it's this super difficult thing. It's not. And it, like Don said, it's just this rich thing. Like, and you start to fall in love with Jesus more and more and more.
Yeah, whether you're married 1 year or 27, like myself, you've never quite come to the end where you can say, yeah, I know it all now. but you learn more and more. And one neat thing, too, is as you hear in a marriage, for example, each other's dreams, hopes for the future. I mean, these are all things that God tells us too. And as we study him, we hear what's on his heart, what he has planned for us in the future and for now. And that gets pretty exciting. That's what theology is. So kind of takes that heaviness out of it. But
yeah, No, so that's the plan, and I'm excited. Like, I love talking about this kind of stuff, and I know Don does too, and so we're going to dive into some really interesting topics, and we're hoping that it kind of expands your understanding. And I'll read you one from Ephesians chapter 1. This is Paul, and he's praying for the church in Ephesus. And keep in mind, he's writing to the saints who are in Ephesus, so he's writing to Christians. And yet he says in chapter 1, verse kind of end of 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And this is his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So there it is. There's the study of God. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. So our desire is that as you listen and hopefully dive into the word for yourself, that it's not just, well, now I have all this extra head knowledge about who God is, but that, like Paul says, that you would know, you would come to know Jesus more, that you would experience God's power more, and that you're just understanding of how incredible our God is would just broaden and broaden and broaden and broaden. And that's why really you can study theology your whole life and it's always fresh and it's always new, because I mean, God is just, will never, right, plumb the depths of who he is, because there's always new things to learn. Why not for a couple seconds talk about some objections that we've heard. So Don, as you've talked with people, I'm sure you have, because I've written down like six or seven objections to theology. And maybe as you're listening on the podcast or on the radio, you've said some of these objections. So we want to just kind of put them out there and then maybe talk about them for a couple minutes and then talk about what are some of the benefits of studying theology. But Don, in your years of ministry and work, like, what are some objections that people have said for not studying theology, or for kind of being turned off by it, or?
Yeah, I think today's society where there is a tendency to be very individualistic, and so we don't want to be ruled by anything, so, you know, kind of want to do our own thing, so that's an objection, that kind of you got your faith, I got mine, we're going to get to the same place, which can be dangerous. Some people are a little disappointed with God, so they don't want to know anything about him.
Yeah.
And so there's objections there. It just seems like a resistance of getting to know God, when that would be the way to get to know him, to read his love letter to us. I don't know, you had a couple more there.
Oh, I've got a whole list of silly excuses. But I think you're right, because our culture is very postmodern, very relativistic. Your truth is yours and my truth is mine. And I think you're right, when we start to dive into theology and we realize that there are truths laid out in Scripture, I think there's pushback from people. Well, I don't like that because it goes against the way I'm living, or I disagree with it, and I want to just kind of live my life. So I think that's a big key one for our culture, is the idea of truth. Some of the ones that I wrote down that I have heard, so these are actually people who have said this to me. I don't like to argue. All I hear about theology is that people argue about stuff. So whether, oh, you know, those Calvinists are arguing with those Arminians, or those pre-tribulation people are arguing with post-millennial whatever. And so people say, well, that just seems like a waste of time. I don't want to argue about it, so I'm not going to get involved with that. I've heard I don't like reading, so that idea of studying God's word, well, I did terrible in school. I don't like reading, so that's just not who I am. I've heard people say, if I love Jesus, you know, isn't that enough? Just to kind of have that basic faith, why do I have to study and learn? I mean, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. Isn't that sufficient? People say it complicates things. It's too difficult. Theology divides churches. I mean, the list goes on. People have a lot to say. But it seems like the majority of it is, it's either too hard or it causes divisions and fights and, you know, let's just all get along. Let's just live simple lives. And I don't want to kind of dive into that, I guess. Those are some of the main ones that I have heard. And I mean, yeah, you know what? I think there are, at least for that idea of causing division, sure, there is a grain of truth to that, because I think, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about major and minor doctrine, because I think you're right if you have that feeling that theology causes division. Well, it can, because I think people go so far down this path of belief about a certain thing that maybe is not a major belief. Maybe it's kind of a minor belief. And then they make it this big deal, and then churches split and stuff like that. So I don't know, Don, do you want to just touch on your understanding? What, you know, what are the differences between major, non-negotiable doctrines of Christianity, and then, you know, maybe some examples, or where is there some wiggle room where believers can almost say, like, well, agree to disagree?
Yeah, you know, like, for example, end times, especially with the world around us, a lot of people are asking, wondering if we're in the last times and how that's all going to play out. And there's people that are firm in how it's going to play out in the next while, and there's differing opinions. And so who's right? Yeah. And so there's, for example, end times. There's wiggle room. You know, where we got to believe that God has a plan, and we're not going to figure it out totally. So on that hill, it's kind of hard to die for, because a lot of really good theological people have differing opinions. But as Andrew and I were talking before, when it comes to salvation and teachings about God and His Trinity, then that's where the world says, well, there's many ways to get to God, but according to Scripture, there's only one. And so, for example, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus made statements like that all through the Gospels. So we know for that one there is no wiggle room. We may have our own opinions, but the Bible is very clear about salvation. So so we have to be careful where we're going to die on which hill. And so those are a couple examples right there where we have wiggle room in one area, but on another one, there is no wiggle room. The Bible is very clear on some of those things. So
yeah. No, I've heard it explained by one pastor kind of using the example of, well, he's from the States, so state or province boundaries and country boundaries. So he says, you know, major doctrines of the faith. So as you study theology, major things, like things that, like Don said, there's no wiggle room, things that are so clearly laid out in Scripture, you know, the Trinity, the fact that God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the divinity of Jesus, the fact that Jesus was God and man, the authority of Scripture. He would say that those are country boundaries. And so, you know, if you go to cross into another country, you know that you're going into another country. You have to go through a check, probably, show your identification. And so for people that try and mess around with those major doctrines, they're not in Christianity. They're in a whole different country, basically. So take, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses. They mess around with the doctrine of the Trinity and say that Jesus was a created being. And so right away in our minds, that goes, well, that doesn't sit well, because the Scriptures are so clear that Jesus is God, that God exists as the Trinity. And so they would self-identify, Jehovah's Witnesses would self-identify as Christians, but they are not, because they've messed around with that major doctrine. And then he describes, you know, province or state boundaries as those things that you can drive across Canada, and you don't have to stop at every province boundary and show your ID and blah, blah, blah. And some of the times you can even be driving, and if you miss the sign, you may not even realize that you're in a new province. And so that could be, you know, how different churches govern themselves. You know, they can have some different ideas of what the Scriptures say, and there's wiggle room on that. Or like Don said, you know, the end times. You know, how certain people do communion. that can, there's some wiggle room, like, right? Or do you use wine? Do you use juice? Do you have people come forward? Do you pass it? So like that kind of stuff, that's not set in stone, and there, it's not a heresy if you do it, you know, if you use wine or juice. And so those would be province boundaries. And so, yes, you're still a Christian. You just have differing opinions. So that, when he explained that, that was just, that clicked for me. I went, yeah, okay, so you can't really mess around with major doctrines. Now, I think the complaint that theology causes a lot of divides is that Christians love to fight over provincial boundaries, so minor doctrines. And really, it's almost one of those things that we should go, you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ, we have a difference of opinion, and we should almost be able just to say, well, agree to disagree kind of thing, because it's really not worth dying over. So even so, you think musical style, that has split churches apart because some people read the Bible and say, oh, it's got to be somber and you know, more respectful and hymns only. And some people go, no, look at the times and we got to use drums and electric guitar. And so then churches fight over that simple thing. And then it, you know, that's just silly. So I think sure, theology and doctrine can cause division. But a lot of times it's because people just get very passionate about minor things and make them major things when they're not really. So we're hoping that you're realizing that theology is not scary. Some of those excuses, they don't really stand up. And if you want to get to know Jesus, you need to read about him. You need to dive in just like you would in any other relationship and just get to know him. So in the last little bit, we want to just talk about, you know, here are a couple reasons why it's really important to study theology. We've already talked about, you know, it helps us go deep in our relationship with Jesus. But I don't know, Don, do you have something else there about, you know, what are some of the positive reasons that you should study theology?
Yeah, well, we were talking about this before. Some of the positive, maybe a positive negative, Paul, he is teaching Timothy, and one verse we were looking at is Timothy 4, verse 16.
Yeah.
It says there, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Mm. So Paul does, you know, give some careful instruction on studying for the reason of protecting ourselves and the people that we talk to. Very often, you know, people will share what they think God feels about something and really have no scriptural backing. And so some people are listening to that and being led astray. Sometimes we go on a vacation and we end up driving down the wrong road and we realize it way down the road and we may have to backtrack an hour or two to get back to where we were. And so there's those minor times where we realize we're off on the Bible and we get back on track.
Yeah.
But even more scary is we could actually be on the wrong path and find ourselves, you know, totally away from what God had planned. So I guess that's a positive there to know that we're on the right track. And then we also are, if you're a mom or dad or a Sunday school teacher or influencing at work and you want to be a Christian, you're going to be careful what you want to say because you don't want to lead the people that are listening to you astray. So for that reason, we have a guidebook. And so as we study it, we can, you know, make sure our people who are listening to us are on the right path. And a big positive for me has been to get to know God in a much more personal way. I always thought the God of the Old Testament was a very angry God. And I read in Jonah, for example, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because of one major reason. And in chapter 4, it tells us because he knew God was a compassionate and loving God that he would actually want to save the people of Nineveh. So I began realizing that the God of love in the New Testament, he's there in the Old Testament too. And I found that out by reading the scriptures. So those are some things I've been thinking about.
Yeah. No, and I think that's good too, because you hear often of people getting led astray by wrong teaching. And Paul tells Timothy, like, know your doctrine, know your theology, so that when stuff like that comes in to the church or into your home, and it will, that you would just so know it that something in your spirit would go, that doesn't sound quite right. Like, for example, I know many Christians, when Jehovah Witnesses, and it sounds like I'm picking on them, I'm not, when they come to your door, a lot of Christians don't even know how to respond to them, because it's like they know the Bible better than we do, and so they say, well, have you thought about this and this and this and this? And a lot of Christians I talk to, they go, blah, and they just get tongue-tied because they don't know their theology and they don't know how to answer. And some of them can even get led astray and go, well, wait a second, like, do I believe this? Like, what does the Bible actually say? And so that's a huge reason to know theology, is that you wouldn't get led astray by people who come in. Here's a really practical example, is the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, huge in North America. And really it is, in my opinion, and some would disagree with me, but I think Don agrees with me because he's shaking his head, yes, it's a perversion of the gospel, and it's not biblical. And it's this, if you're not aware of it, it's basically the idea of, you know, if you follow Jesus, you will be healthy and wealthy and happy all the time, and God owes you material goods. And if you know, if you want a bigger house, pray for a bigger house, and you deserve it. And millions and millions of Christians are being sucked into this because I honestly think they don't know theology. They don't know what the Bible actually teaches about those things. And so, of course, and I won't name names, but a guy in Texas stands up and says, you know, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and happy, and here's a few verses that maybe I can twist to show that. And people go, oh, okay, well, it seems like he's a nice guy, and it seems like the Bible says that. And they're totally being led astray to not really understanding the gospel, because the gospel isn't about what we get. The gospel is about Jesus. I mean, we get Jesus. We don't get things from God. We get God. And so, if you can tell, I am passionate about that, because I just think it's leading so many people astray. But that's a really easy example. If people actually dove in and maybe understood more when those types of things, and not just the prosperity gospel, but different types of teachings came up, they would be able to go, that doesn't sound quite right. So that's a huge one. The other thing, and we've said it a few times, it helps us grow in our understanding of who Jesus is and our love of him. I wrote down two verses here, and I'll read them. One is in Titus 1:1. Paul says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. So there Paul is saying, as we understand truth and as we understand who God is, kind of an outworking of that is godliness in our lives, because we will know the truth and it'll help us grow as Christians. And then again, Paul says kind of the same thing in 1 Timothy 6. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness. So again, that idea that teaching and learning and understanding actual lived out turns into godliness. I think those were kind of the ones that I had written down. Do you have anything else to add, Don, or... I totally put you on the spot. I have something, but I don't want to the microphone.
No, I think just for Andrew and I, the real concern as pastors is that there are many voices out there, and even Jesus was tempted by Satan. And Satan actually attempted to use God's word to deceive Jesus, or to tempt him to move away from God's plan. So one of our, real desires is to ignite a desire to learn more about God and to be careful, because there are so many voices that can lead us astray. And we know from the Bible that this can lead to eternal consequences. So that's really what we're concerned about, that we go to the scriptures, ask trusted people, what does the Bible say about this, and to make sure we're on the path of truth.
Yeah, No, that's good. It's already been half an hour, so we got to wrap this up. But we're hoping that maybe if you've been one of those people with an excuse about theology or just kind of a bad taste in your mouth, that you're starting to realize, hopefully, that it is like what Don and I have been saying. It's just falling more in love with Jesus. It's learning about who he is through the study of his word. And so, yeah, we'll spend the next 10 or 12 weeks. I mean, if something else comes up, we'll kind of take a break. But we just want to, for the next however months, just really let's walk through what are some key doctrines, what are some things that we need to know. And so, you know, next week we'll probably talk about the Bible, the inerrancy of the Bible, the authority of the Bible. How did they choose what went in the Bible? How did they leave stuff out? Can we trust the Bible? And then we'll just kind of go from there and just unpack different parts of theology and hopefully help you not just gain head knowledge, but just love Jesus more. That's really the point of all of this. So let me pray and then we'll be done for today. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have revealed who you are to us, that we don't have to just stumble around wondering who you are, but you've laid it out for us in your word. And so God, may we be people of the word. May we be people who love theology and love to study who you are and get to know you. And God, help it not to just be facts that we know and head knowledge, but God, that it would sink deep into our hearts and that it would create a deeper and richer love of who you are, Jesus, and that it would lead us to fall on our knees in worship. And so thank you for this time, and I just pray that you would, yeah, ignite a passion in our hearts to study more of who you are. And so we pray in your son's name. Amen. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We are signing off.